The Legal Corner Podcast Series. Welcome to today's episode of The Legal Corner, a podcast which covers a variety of legal issues to keep you informed. Hosted by attorney at law Colin Dinoon and communication specialist Leonardo Torres.
Happy to be back with you on the Legal Corner podcast series. I missed you guys over the past couple of episodes, but Leonardo did an excellent job. He isn't here today because of work. It seems during the season, we keep missing each other. But that's a good thing with having a co-host. We can split up and the show can continue. So in today's episode, we'll be looking at the Tax Appeal Board. And my esteemed guest is in the person of Miss Lisa Theodore, attorney at law. Just to tell you a bit about her, Lisa Theodore is a litigation, advisory, and risk management attorney working at an established law firm in Trinidad and Tobago. She holds a Bachelor of Laws degree from the University of the West Indies, a legal education certificate from the Hugh Wooding Law School in 2015, a Master of Law degree in General Studies from the Georgetown University of Law. She's admitted to practice in Trinidad and Tobago and passed the bar in New York State in 2021. Supplementing her legal experience is the considerable earned international law and development experience she received while working with several different multinational organizations, including the International Bar Association, the Organization of American States, the Inter-American Human Rights Commission, the United Nations Development Program, and the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Trinidad and Tobago. And she has served as a consultant for various national and international development projects and policies. The experiences span the areas of international law and development, anti-corruption, international trade, international arbitration, international debt workouts, and anti-money laundering, with a current legal focus in the areas of civil and tax litigation, risk management, corporate compliance, and advisory. Lisa is a Fulbright scholar and also provides strategic legal support to local non-governmental organizations in the area of gender, women's empowerment, human rights, career mentorship, and development. Lisa is also a songstress and a patron of the cultural arts. Good day to you, Lisa, and welcome to the Legal Corner.
Hi, good day, Colin. Really nice, and thanks for having me tonight. I really appreciate you reaching out. Always happy to share when it comes to law.
Lovely. Of course. Lisa, we're going to get right into it. Tell us what legislation governs taxation in Trinidad and Tobago.
The legislation that governs taxation in Trinidad and Tobago is the Tax Appeal Board Act. And it also has its associated rules, the Tax Appeal Board Rules, that is also subsidiary to the Tax Appeal Board Act. Yes, and also there are other acts that would be relevant to taxes, with inclusive of the Income Tax Act, the Corporation Tax Act. But as it pertains to like the appeal board's process, the Tax Appeal Board Act is the governing act.
All right, now, where are the offices of the Tax Appeal Board located?
It's actually located in on Frederick Street, Port of Spain. Sometimes a few people don't even recognize that such a superior court is located right in the center of the city, but it's the Tax Appeal Board is located on Frederick Street, Port of Spain, whereas the BIR, the Board of Inland Revenue, which is the Tax Assessment Office, they're strategically located across the country.
Okay. Talk to us a bit about the structure of the court.
So how the court is structured? It's structured in a way where there is a chairman, which is appointed by the president, further to recommendation by the JLSC, the Judicial Legal and Services Commission. And the chairman is supported by two ordinary members. Now, these members would be also appointed by the president, but they will be appointed based on their experience in a variety of fields, of whether it be taxation, law, valuation, that type of thing. So the two ordinary members support the chairman, and they comprise the board that will make the assessments. The assessments in relevance to the appeals of assessments made by taxpayers. And so apart from the chairman and the ordinary members, it is also supported, the tax appeal board is supported by a registrar. Now the registrar will comprise of the registrar himself and also his team, the employees, the officers, the clerks, which essentially support the board as it were a court. Right, so they will carry out the business of the tax appeal board.
Okay, so the individuals who are serving on the court, they are not only lawyers. So there's a diversity in terms of persons who may be appointed.
In terms of their experience, it really spans. So you don't really only see lawyers appointed. There are persons who excel in it, whether it be accounting, taxation, commercial, or commerce rather. Also, you have the fields of finance, valuation. So the area of tax, it really does not only comprise of attorneys. It's actually, you know, really supported by a lot of accountants, a lot of persons within the tax field. So yes, it really does not comprise of tax, attorneys. It really is a diverse persons representing that field of, you know, probably, of course, having the relevant knowledge and experience over time. You know, they are appointed based on experience by the president and, of course, based on recommendations.
Now, what is the process of appointment for these judges?
The judges are appointed based on, the judges themselves. So I wouldn't, what we call the judge, he'll be equivalent, he has the powers equivalent to a high court judge, right? But we call the relevant persons carrying out the duties of the tax appeal board, the chairman and members. So yes, we will in at court, if I'm representing a client, you'd say his honor, you know, and whatnot, but you'd also, they are recognized as his chairman and the members, and they have the powers equivalent to that of a superior court of record.
So the JLSC would be the persons who would make the recommendation to the president.
Yes, correct. The Judicial and Legal Service Commission, they would make the recommendations to the president as it concerns the chairman and the vice chairman. When we look at the other members, however, they are appointed by the president, not by the recommendation of the JLSC. The recommendation by the JLSC is only relevant to the chairman and the vice chairman.
Now, it is a tax appeal board, so it means that persons are going to be lodging appeals. So talk to us about the circumstances under which someone would have to lodge an appeal with the tax appeal board.
So yes, so the how it works is that once an assessment has been made by the Board of Inland Revenue, whether it concerns your income tax, your corporation tax, if you're a company, if your income tax is relevant to your personal income, based on the statements you'll make that you would file on your annual returns. There's also customs, you know, there's the VAT tax as well, value-added tax relevant to companies. So if you file your return, there are instances now where the BIR, the relevant tax body, the state agency appointed, they would make an assessment and determine your liability in a particular way. Once this assessment is made, what happens is that the taxpayer would now have a period of time, usually 15 days, to notify them of any objection. In terms of if there is an objection to the assessment made, whether it be your income tax, your corporation tax, the taxpayer would be given an opportunity to now object to that.
All right, well, we'll take a quick break at this point and we'll be right back. Welcome back and thank you staying with us. Lisa, before the break, you were just giving us a breakdown as it relates to why persons would lodge an appeal and under the what circumstances. I want you now to talk to us a bit about the process by which an appeal is determined or decided.
Okay, so usually when a tax assessment is made by the Board of Inland Revenue or Customs or whoever makes any tax assessment based on the relevant tax paid, a citizen has the right, any citizen or all citizens rather, they have the right to notify the Board of Inland Revenue that they object to this liability for the amount of taxes shown or the assessment made by the BIR. So now, this essentially is where the appeal process begins, right? So you have, once you get this notification by the BIR, whether it be by post, by email, by envelope, on the date of that receipt, you have 15 days by which you would have to now object to that assessment. If you don't, now you would, by failing to do so within the 15 days, it is considered that you accept this tax assessment. However, if you do, right, once you notify the BIR of your objections and the grounds by which you object to these assessments, the BIR will now have a period of 24 months by which they will do their necessary examination, compile the documents. Usually, in cases of companies, there'd be a series of back and forth in terms of correspondence exchange with the company's accountants and the BIR to maybe explain certain things, the reasons why an assessment was made, the reasons why an allowance was claimed here and that type of thing. So you have this back and forth with the BIR. So the BIR now has 24 months from that notification to let you know, yes, well, we agree with your position. We don't think that you should be taxed this particular way. We will vary it. Or they will say, no, we are upholding our assessment. All right. So just before I move on, if the BIR doesn't respond within the 24 months, the taxpayer's assessment is now considered, it will just be deemed to be settled in your favor if the BIR does not respond within the 24 months. If they do, however, respond and they uphold the assessment, then you now have a next stage of appeal at this stage. And this is where you move from the Board of Inland Revenue, to the Tax Appeal Board. And the Tax Appeal Board, and this is where the Tax Appeal Board Act comes into play and governs. So at the Tax Appeal Board level, what you have now is a situation where the Tax Appeal Board, you will get this notification by the Board of Inland Revenue saying, no, we are upholding this assessment. Now you have 28 days from which you now have to appeal that assessment, that notification of objection or of the BIR. And of course, once again, this it is really critical that it comes into play because you may be notified by email, by post, by envelope, informing you exactly what is the BIR's decision with respect to their tax assessment. Apologies for the dog. but beyond that, after the 28 days, within that 28 days, you basically submit a notice of appeal. Of course, this is where the attorney gets involved, right? So you will appeal the decision of the Board of Inland Revenue. And of course, in this appeal, you will also inform the Tax Appeal Board, what the grounds of your objections are, right? So you'll set out the grounds. If you don't appeal within 28 days, you do have a sort of recourse, right, after that period. Once you can show or demonstrate that you had some reasonable cause why you did not respond or notify or object within a 28-day period, right? So, of course, that's a very limited circumstance, and you also have to show that once the situation which caused you to not appeal it in within that 28 days has been resolved, you promptly acted and to appeal the assessment, right? So you have 28 days from which you can appeal. Beyond the 28 days, the Board of Inland Revenue now will be required to provide the Tax Appeal Board with all the documents that they would have looked at and examined to come to their decision as to why this tax assessment or this tax liability should stand, right, or should not stand. And of course, you would now be given all these documents as well, and you'll have to look through it to ensure that were these documents that you, as a taxpayer or the company, provide this to the BIR, you'll check it through, that type of thing. The Board of Inland Revenue will also be given the opportunity to respond. So you would submit a notice of appeal. The Board of Inland Revenue will then be allowed to submit their case, and then you'll be given the opportunity to respond to their case. Of course, and during this period, it is held in camera, so it is not an open type court. So this is also something critical to note. The Tax Appeal Board is a superior court of record, but all the tax appeal hearings is held in camera. So it is not open to the public as you have at the magistrates court level or as you have at the civil courts. So you can't just walk into the Tax Appeal Board and sit in the matter, right? So that's also, I mean, I guess it's a good thing because it protects the privacy of the taxpayer and that type of thing. So matter is held, and it actually goes on like a trial most times. And of course, you have opportunities for the BIR and the taxpayer to try to settle the matter during that period. But we have witnesses, we have trials, and we conduct it and examine the the matter is conducted as a trial. So you have cross-examination and that type of thing. Once the matter is finished, the tax appeal board, that comprises the chairman, as I said before, and its members, they will now make their determination on whether the assessment will be vacated, whether the assessment should be varied, or whether it should go back to the BIR to be reconsidered, and whether it means gathering more information before they make their decision. But during this period of appeal, the onus is on the taxpayer to prove that the Board of Inland Revenue acted erroneously or incorrectly, right? So the burden is also on the taxpayer to prove that the tax appeal, the Board of Inland Revenue, was wrong in their assessment. So once the assessment is determined by the Tax Appeal Board and they determine whether the taxpayer should vary the assessment or not, on questions of fact, the Tax Appeal Board decision will be deemed final. So if you have to appeal the Tax Appeals Board decision any further, you can only do so on questions of law. All right. And this is the recourse as for a taxpayer. Whatever decision the Tax Appeal Board makes, it'll be considered final on issues of facts. But questions of law, the taxpayer has the opportunity to now appeal at a higher level, and that's the Court of Appeal. That's where if it is considered that the Tax Appeal Board was wrong on the law, the taxpayer has the opportunity to appeal that decision. So yes, so that should be the, in terms of the procedure. I clearly stated it. But essentially, yes, as a taxpayer, you have the BIR. The BIR make the assessment. You then object to the assessment. The BIR is given an opportunity to interact with you to ascertain whether it should be held or upheld or not. Once they confirm whether they intend to uphold the decision, you now have the opportunity to object to that decision at the Tax Appeal Board level, and then you'll go through the provisions of you putting forward your case, the BIR responding, you answering, and then the Tax Appeal Board will make its decision based on its experience and jurisdiction.
Right. Lisa, as we get ready to wrap up, talk to us a bit about the whole aspect of a tax amnesty. What is a tax amnesty, and how does it affect the operations of the court?
So what a tax amnesty does, it gives the taxpayer this opportunity to essentially voluntarily disclose any tax payments that they should have made or would have made. So it allows you to it frees you from any penalties or interest you may have incurred had you not, you know, carry out and pay the relevant taxes within the requisite period. So it really gives a taxpayer who may have missed for many years, a company who may have missed for many years, that opportunity to take up that opportunity to relieve themselves from the relevant interest and the penalties, because they do accrue considerably. So what? But the tax penalty, the amnesty rather, it really doesn't affect the workings of the board. The board will continue to hear matters, should there have been objections made by the relevant taxpayers and whatnot. So the matters continue, and it really is on the onus is on the taxpayer to ascertain whether they will want to take heed of the amnesty or not.
So this has been a great conversation. Thank you very much for stopping by.
No problem at all. Thanks for having me. And I hope I'm able to inform anyone in any way.
Thank you for listening to the Legal Corner podcast series. For more information, please visit us at our Facebook or Instagram pages, or send your comments to thelegalcornerpodcast@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.